You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vedrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical theatre show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And we're turning to the world of movie musicals this week, as Disney have just released their much-anticipated sequel to the film Enchanted. Now, if you don't remember the original film from 2007, it followed Amy Adams as Princess Giselle, who is thrown from her magical fairy tale land of Andalasia and thrust into the real world. It has that lovely moment where she climbs out of the drain in the middle of New York City and transforms from this animated figure into a real-life person, which is always a nice effect. And of course, it takes her a little while to get used to the magicless real world, but she does end up falling in love with a rather disgruntled single father, and the whole moral is kind of that fairy tale magic can exist where you want it to, or whatever. Well, at least until the sequel came along anyway. 15 years later, we're back with these same characters and finding that life isn't all it's cracked up to be when it continues past happily ever after. Giselle and her husband Robert, played by Patrick Dempsey, are now overworked and worn out parents of a newborn daughter, and Robert's daughter from his first marriage is now a moody teenager who isn't quite as endeared to Giselle's undying optimism as she used to be. So to fix all their problems, they decide to move out of the city and into the suburbs, as Giselle hopes that will give them an easier, more fairy tale-like life. But of course, it doesn't quite work out to plan. It takes an absolute nosedive then when, in a fit of musical pique, Giselle decides to make a wish for a fairy tale life. She wakes up the next morning and the entire world has transformed into a scene out of every Disney movie you've ever seen. There's a Beauty and the Beast style marketplace, there's a classic Wicked Queen, and a chorus of townspeople ready to sing and dance at the drop of a hat. But unfortunately for Giselle, she also gets transformed and starts turning into an evil stepmother. So, with all that in mind, it is quite a chaotic film. Don't get me wrong. It's very charming, very Disney-fied. Like, it hits all the marks of a fairy tale with nice little Easter eggs to other classic Disney moments. But it simultaneously feels both pedestrian and a bit frenetic. Now, I will say that I know there were quite substantial rewrites and reshoots after test audiences didn't react wholly positively to the first version of the film. And as a result, you do end up with a few scenes that either feel a bit rushed or like they've been cut off weirdly in the edit, presumably because something else happened there originally that has now been changed. But overall, I do enjoy the premise of the film. I don't think it's quite got the wittiness of the original film. I like the fact that the first movie kind of pokes fun at the fairy tale aspect while still having that charm and magic of these characters falling in love in a fairy tale way and, you know, having to kiss the princess before the stroke of midnight to save her from a sleeping curse. I think that blend was much better done and much more effective overall in Enchanted. By comparison, Disenchanted feels almost too on the nose because of how much it does lean into the fairy tale stereotypes. Now, that being said, the saving grace is the stepmother twist with Giselle. From the second I started watching Disenchanted, I was instantly reminded of how good Amy Adams is at playing the part of Disney princess. The lilting voice, the little smile, the pretty hand gestures and head tilt. She is just the perfect package, and her singing and dancing matches it wonderfully. So it's really fun then getting to see her play around with that a bit and let the evil and the cruelty come out as she becomes more and more of the wicked stepmother part. Again, there are points where it becomes a little bit too frenetic for my taste as she switches back and forth between the two, but I think the characterisation is solid for both sides of Giselle, and I'm just once again so pleased that Amy Adams is involved in these films because she's so perfect for this character. I also really enjoyed Gabriella Baldacchino as Morgan, Robert's teenage daughter. She'd been cast in this film to replace Rachel Covey from the first movie, who I'm assuming was just too old to be playing a teenager now. I will say the resemblance between them is uncanny though, and I'm not entirely convinced I would have actually noticed that it was a different person had I not been looking at her name on IMDb. I think she is so suited to this role and plays both the moody teenager and the doe-eyed princess really, really well. I liked her singing voice in the song Perfect, big Disney princess vibes, though I do think that the potential romance with her and like the prince of the story could have had more to it. It felt a little bit dropped in where necessary, and I could see the thinking behind it is the way that I would phrase it, which may be a remnant of some of the rewrites, but it just made it feel a little bit there rather than having anything to do with the story. Still, I do think Gabriella played the part really well and was a very, very endearing heroine. Another standout that I have to mention is James Marsden, who is woefully underused in this film. He's only really got two scenes where we see him in person and then another animated one. But my God, he is scene-stealing every single time. He is so funny and charming and just so oblivious to the real world. His version of Prince Edward has always been my favourite character in the Enchanted franchise, so I know that I am biased, but I just wish there was more of him in this. On the flip side, though, I think Patrick Dempsey maybe struggled a bit with his fairy tale counterpart. Like, he is excellent at playing the overworked lawyer figure in the real world, something that we saw him do in the original film, but it was almost too overacted and cheesy when the wish turned him into a classic fairy tale prince in Disenchanted. And I know absolutely where he was coming from, because he was probably trying to channel that James Marsden quality and do the very over-the-top thing, but it just felt a little bit GCSE drama class rather than letting me actually buy into the fact that he was playing a prince, if that makes sense. Similarly, I think Idina Menzel as Nancy kind of floated around, appearing whenever it was convenient to sing a song that revealed useful instructions that were going to be needed to further the plot. I love Idina Menzel, and I think she's really, really good in the Enchanted franchise, and I think her character was underdeveloped in this particular film. I shouldn't ever feel that a character is there just because they need to be at that moment, and I missed her having like actual things to do and character development, although I will say that her voice sounded great as always. I will admit that her main song called Love Power was probably my least favourite in the entire film, which is a shame because it's also the one that gets the most reprises and is used as the end credit music. It was just a little bit twee for my taste, which I know seems weird given that this is literally meant to be a fairy tale Disney movie. But again, it was just slightly too on the nose for me. Like, yeah, we get the concept that love is powerful enough to break a curse. Do we really need a song where the phrase love power just gets rattled out over and over again? Also, from a musical theatre perspective, it really annoyed me that Giselle then got the main reprise of Love Power because she wasn't there when the song was introduced, so how does she know anything about it? Unless it's meant to be like a classic Andalasia tune, which honestly, I don't think it is, and would be weird if it was. But other than that one song, I do think the music in this film is pretty good. It's reunited Alan Menken with Stephen Schwartz, two musical theatre and Disney juggernauts, so you'd go in expecting good things, wouldn't you? I don't know if any of the songs are quite as memorable or developed as those in Enchanted, but they service the film well enough. A particular standout is Badder, which is performed by Amy Adams once she's in her full evil stepmother routine alongside Maya Rudolph, who plays the town busybody, who gets transformed into the Wicked Queen after the wish. Again, I think Maya Rudolph's character borders a little bit on a caricature for me personally, but I think she plays it really well and gets plenty of comedy moments, which is great to see. And I do think that their Badder duet is one of the best songs in the film, not least because it's got a sassy dynamic energy that a lot of the other songs miss out on. There's also a classic jazzy Alan Menken trumpet throughout it, which I really, really love. So all in all, I think Disenchanted is a bit of a mixed bag. It has got some really, really good moments, but the rest of it just sort of feels fine, which isn't a problem per se. It's that perfect Sunday afternoon film where you can have it on and follow the story and have a good time, but you don't really need to invest too much time or energy into it, if you know what I mean. And I think that's probably the right level for it. I think it's just a bit of a shame that the first film was so clever and so witty and sort of did to Disney, at a lesser extent, what Shrek had done for DreamWorks in using that fairy tale element, but taking the mick of it as well. It feels to me like Disenchanted maybe started off as another attempt to do something like that, but instead has just kind of become a tick list of caricatures and archetypes from the fairy tale world, which is fine and it works for the film, but it just feels like a little bit of a step backwards if you go in expecting something like the original. Again, though, we'll say it's very charming, very Disney, and there are going to be people who find it utterly magical and do fall in love with it. For me, I really enjoyed it, but it didn't blow me away. Maybe it would have done if there'd been more James Marsden in it. But I will leave you to watch Disenchanted and make up your mind for yourself. It's available to watch on Disney Plus, and the soundtrack is also out now on all the usual streaming platforms. So do go and see what you think and then let me know how you got on. I would love to know your thoughts. And on that note, I will say goodbye to you for now. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday, first at 6 p.m. with Showtime live on urn1350.net for non-stop show tunes. And then I'll be right here at 7 o'clock straight after that with a brand new spotlight on to let you know exactly what's going on in the world of musical theatre. You can also follow along on Facebook at URN Showtime and on Twitter at Showtime URN to make sure you never miss a moment, because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.